Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Voices for Victory podcast. I'm your host, Mick McDonald. To our subscribers, it's great to have you back. And if you're a new listener joining us for the first time, we're glad to have you on board. On the Voices for Victory podcast, you'll hear stories from people whose lives have been touched by cancer in some way and find out what they're doing to help move us closer to victory over cancer. Today, our guest is actor and director James Rodé Rodriguez. James, who stars as a cancer survivor Gary on the hit ABC show A Million Little Things, has joined forces with WWE superstar The Miz to take on a fantasy football challenge this season, all while helping raise money to support the V Foundation. I'll chat with James about why playing a cancer survivor was such an important and personal role for him, and how it's helped him connect with people who've gone through a cancer journey themselves. We also talk about his fantasy football partnership with The Miz, how that came to be, and why the V Foundation was their charity of choice. And now, our conversation with James Rodé Rodriguez.
And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day.
And we are now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by a very talented actor, director, and so much more. You know him from Psych. You know him from A Million Little Things. Mr. James Rodé Rodriguez. James, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us today.
Pleasure is mine. I'm freshly showered and coiffed, and I'm ready to rock.
So we're going to dive in. I know you're really excited about this fantasy football league that you've teamed with The Miz, the WWE superstar, to team up to raise money for the V Foundation. And we're going to get into all of that. But first, I want to talk a little bit about your role on A Million Little Things. You play a cancer survivor. When you first got the role, was there anything that you looked at or sort of looked into about the details of what it would take to play someone who's been through this experience when you started on the show?
Full disclosure, it's the reason I did the show. If Gary hadn't been a cancer survivor, cover your ears, DJ Nash. I doubt that I would have. Signed on to do A Million Little Things. Not that I didn't enjoy it. I think this. I thought the script for the pilot was fantastic, and I thought it had a ton of potential. But I wasn't actually looking for an acting role at that time. Mostly, I had been working behind the camera, so. It was without question, Gary's journey as a cancer survivor that drew me to the part. My best friend of, 30 years, we grew up together. Wife recently went through a bout with breast cancer. She has her first all clear, but it's as we address in the show, you just never know for sure. And, I adore her, and, she's been in my life for 20 years, and watching her go through that and be such a champion, such a warrior. My godson also belongs to them. So she was, she was being a mother and beating cancer's ass. It was one of the most inspiring things that I've ever witnessed firsthand. And it's very close to me, and it's why I wanted to tell this story. And I spoke to her, obviously. I also spoke to a number of men who were diagnosed and battled breast cancer, some who had mastectomies, some who did not. I wanted to sort of get as many perspectives as I could. But yeah, absolutely. The super short answer to your question is I did. I wanted to talk to people who had been through it, and so that I, could as accurately as possible represent that experience.
And you mentioned that in the show, Gary is a breast cancer survivor, which I think most people associate that for good reason. It's mostly common with women, but it does affect men as well. So, do you feel like part of this has been, helping clear up some misunderstandings or stigmas that are out there around men who are diagnosed with breast cancer?
I do. I believe that, obviously it affects a much larger swath of women than it does for men, but even the tiny percentage of men that it affects still translates to, thousands of men that are living this experience. And it's isolating is sort of the first thing I learned talking to, men who have survived breast cancer is like, it's just, it's really weird. Breast cancer was called ladies' cancer as recently as the 20th century. And there just aren't a lot of eyes on this experience through this prism. And, you know, the guys were just like, I felt really alone. I felt like there wasn't actually a spot for me amongst a community because of a lack of awareness and because of a lack of knowledge. And even if the knowledge is there, the experience is so different that, you know, putting a man in a big circle, of a support group, it's like it's one experience is completely different than the others. And even though every experience is different, I think, you know, there are commonalities that women have that they can use as sort of a buoy, you know, to support one another and hold each other up. And the man's experience is just not the same. It affects him in a different way. And I think as a result, a lot of these guys, you know, don't know where to turn, really don't feel seen. And this was an opportunity to shine a light on an experience that's very real and that's happening to, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of men in the United States alone.
And you mentioned kind of shining a light on this sort of bigger picture, not let alone just men who maybe have been diagnosed with breast cancer, but has playing the character of Gary sort of, I don't know if it opened a line of communication. Have you heard from cancer survivors or maybe people who've been diagnosed who watch the show and can connect and sort of, I don't know what the right word is, but have that emotional connection with you because they've seen you on TV? And has any of that happened with you since you started the show?
I'll tell you, man, the one good thing, and especially in 2020, I feel like it might just be down to the one good thing that I find social media exists for is what you just said. It's the reason that I'm still on social media, and that's for that, you know, the opportunity to connect with people that have been through it, who do feel seen, who want to reach out, who want to share their story, who want to say thank you, who want to be angry, who want to be upset, who want to talk about a loved one that they lost. There does come a certain responsibility with telling these stories authentically. And one of them is connecting with your audience and being open. And it's great that you can do that with a click, of a button these days, or, by opening an app. It is one of the beautiful things that social media has provided us with. So yes, I've managed to connect with fans. I've managed to, you know, listen and shop and swear and basically say thank you. And that, you know, we are astounded and inspired by their journeys as well. It's cool. It's the one cool thing.
Yeah, it is nice that there are, we can grasp to a few positives, right, that are still left with so much of the negative side effects that we see from everything that brings. You guys deal with a lot of serious issues on the show. You know, of course, suicide is a big part of the show that you guys have dealt with, let alone Gary's, you know, cancer survivor. There's a lot of things that you guys kind of dive into. Is that something that you kind of were excited to be a part of, that maybe it opens up a conversation for people who are uncomfortable talking about a lot of these things? Is that something that you and you know, the cast and the crew have all felt like this is a part of why we're doing this?
Yes, for sure. As much as we can, being on, you know, a major network television show in prime time, we've tried to address each of these issues as, you know, authentically as possible. We have a ton of consultants and medical experts who sort of help guide us along the way. And, you know, recognizing that we also have to deliver a certain element of melodrama and soap and things that, you know, make you want to come back and watch a show every week. But within that framework, I am proud of the way that our writers and our showrunner, you know, DJ, sort of leaves no stone unturned in an attempt to be as truthful as possible and transparent as possible when we're dealing with these really, really serious issues, again, that come with obligation and responsibility. It does sometimes feel like we're dealing with all of them at the same time on our show. But I don't think it's something that we take for granted. We certainly don't take it lightly. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you're, and I know I'm the only person that's ever used that colloquialism, so if you need me to explain it, I can. At the end of the day, I, as actors, I think the most we can ever hope for in terms of a contribution to society is helping someone feel seen. If we can do that, and it can happen in a number of ways. It can be that, you know, we, like you said earlier, we shine a light on a specific experience. We can lift them up on a day when they're just really, really down. However it is, like, that's it. That's sort of the bar by which we can place value upon ourselves and upon what we do. Otherwise, it's just a whole lot of looking in the mirror saying, you know, what the hell am I contributing to society by putting makeup on and playing dress up for a living? So, yeah, when you can be a part of a show like this that has initiatives, that takes it seriously, it's certainly there's a lot of value there, and I'm thankful to be a part of it.
And it certainly sounds like, you know, there was some going back to kind of our first question, where there's some personal side of it for you with having the cancer connection and all that. So that kind of leads me into what you're doing now with the Miz to team up and raise money for cancer research for the V Foundation through your guys' fantasy football league that you're doing. Tell everybody a little bit about just kind of how that's working and how that came to be.
Yes. I have been playing high stakes fantasy with the NFFC for over a decade now. And the reason that I'm still doing is because I had one good season. I had one good season very, very early on.
That's all it takes, right?
Yeah, where I was, you know, I was winning all my friendly leagues every year and feeling like a bit of a guru. And then I heard about, oh, you can go to Vegas and you can compete against like the best of the best. And I won, and I won a bunch of money, and I started to drink my own Kool-Aid, and I felt like, oh, I'm one of the best fantasy players in the world. I mean, I'm part of a league of extraordinary ladies and gentlemen here. I have not come close to that level of success since. In fact, I would say I've balanced the scale and then some by finishing closer at the bottom of most of my leagues since. And you know, the simple fact is there are people that do this for a living, which is fascinating. It's just like, you know, people who play poker for a living. But it's almost impossible to compete at this point unless that's sort of like the whole enchilada for you. But I enjoy it and it brings me peace. And I like going to Vegas. And so I've kept up with it. And this year we got slammed with a pandemic. The world turned upside down. You know, hundreds and hundreds of years of social injustices have woken us up and slapped us around again. And we're just sitting in it. And we didn't know if we were going to have a season or not. It was a giant question mark. So I reached out to Greg Ambrosius, who, along with Tom Kesenich, runs the NFFC and the NFBC. And I said, dude, like, what can we do? Like, what can we do to make sure that this season is meaningful, regardless of whether we, you know, get 4 games or 5 games or, you know, 10 weeks or 1 week? Like, how can we galvanize the fantasy community so that in this super bizarre, uncomfortable time, a bunch of people with a shared passion can come together and maybe do some good? And he was so open to ideas. He wanted to do something. And we didn't have a ton of time, so we decided, hey, I'll team up with someone who also has a pretty good track record, and we'll have a team in the biggest event that you offer, which is the NFFC Primetime, and we'll play for a great cause. What should that cause be? Everybody sort of at the same time thought of the V Foundation because, you know, Million Little Things is an ABC show. The WWE has an affiliation because of Connor's cure. It just made all the sense in the world for the V Foundation to be the cause. Reached out to The Miz. He was on board instantly. And then it was like, hey, let's put it out there. Let's see what happens. Let's let the fantasy community do the rest. and we'll draft the best team that we can, and we'll try to make it as fun as possible for as long as we have an NFL season. And up to, you know, the end of the draft, you could not have scripted it better. I maintain that the Miz and I had a wonderful strategy that we stuck to, that the draft kind of played out exactly the way we wanted it to. We built our team around two, you know, bell cow running backs in Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb. We were feeling really good about that. Derrick Henry's leading the league in rushing after 3 weeks. Nick Chubb goes off in week two. We drafted, you know, Adam Thielen, Cooper Kupp, and Jameson Crowder as target monster sort of slot receiver guys who are always going to be a part of their passing game, whether you're playing from behind or nursing a lead. And we just felt like, man, we did this right. And we've got karma behind us. And, you know, we're going to take this thing. And the fantasy gods immediately started laughing hysterically at us. To the point that they couldn't breathe, I think. They were laughing so hard. And 5 weeks later, we sit with the Titans dealing with the only real COVID outbreak in the NFL. Nick Chubb nursing knee injury for at least the next 5 weeks. Jameson Crowder was down for 2 weeks. And what should have been a 5-0, you know, beautiful start to the season is instead staring down the barrel of 1-4. But here's the thing, man. You know, Jimmy V said it best, you know, you don't give up, never give up. Don't ever, ever give up. And we're not going to. We're going to keep making videos. We're going to keep talking to the fans. We will invite all the criticism and shared stories of fantasy seasons gone awry. And the hope is that as long as we have football, we can still keep raising money for the V Foundation. We're tossing around different fun ways to engage and challenge people, like, you know, $1 for every week that the Miz and I continue to lose. Maybe we can make lemonade out of lemons here. But we're gonna drop another video this week sometime to sort of tell our sob story and rally the troops. And yeah, we want to raise as much money as humanly possible, because at the beginning it was like, look, we can raise as much as $400,000 for the V Foundation. And it was like, our eyes were bigger than our stomachs, because, you know, it's basically a $200 grand prize for winning the whole damn thing. And then an incredibly generous anonymous donor came forward and said, hey, if these guys win it, I'll match it. So man, we were just feeling it. And now it looks more like, hey, fantasy community, let's just drive and raise everything we can. And that's what that is.
Well, I will say, we had Miz on the podcast or a few weeks ago, and the first thing I take away from the two of you guys is how unbelievably passionate you are about raising money for the V Foundation. Yes, obviously, but fantasy football. The two of you guys, like, Miz is going off about how you guys are going back and forth about lineup changes and waiver pickups, and I said, well, are you guys going at each other when you differ in opinion? And Miz, I mean, anyone who's seen the Miz on a microphone or in front of a camera knows, you know, he can go off when he wants to go off. How has that been with the two of you guys kind of going back and forth and making changes to the team or arguing over lineup decisions? How has that been with the two of you guys?
Luckily, when we've missed, we've kind of missed together. You know, we blew it with our flex spot, like the first 2 weeks. We had Leonard Fournette, but we wanted to see something from him before we played him. Of course, the week that he goes off, the week he's on our bench. We have Matty Ice and Aaron Rodgers, and we thought, you know, we're going to treat Aaron like a backup because that's what he is now for fantasy. And we stuck with Matty Ice sort of stubbornly for too long. So we've certainly made some miscues, but luckily we haven't been on opposite sides of those so that one of us feels worse than the other. We're kind of going down in flames together, which is the best thing you can hope for when you're co-managing a team. I had Chase Claypool in our lineup until about 5 minutes before kickoff yesterday.
Oh no.
But we have Mike Williams, and then it looked like he was going to be able to play, and he had a great matchup. And, you know, talk about someone who's due this season, especially with the way Herbert is playing. It's got to be Mike Williams, right? So we're like, yeah, Claypool's such a dart throw. You know, we're basically we're playing him in hopes that he catches one long touchdown pass. Let's go with Mike Williams. He's due. So I pull him out 5 minutes before kickoff, and, of course, you know, the kid has a historic fantasy day. So it does feel like what's going on here. Like, good things should be happening for this team, and we're kind of getting our butts handed to us. So, you know, trying to stay positive as one does.
And I think anyone who's ever played fantasy football, and especially if they've co-managed a team with someone else, has, you know, everyone has those exact stories, right? Where the last minute change that dooms you, and it's just trying to explain that if you're not on the same page as your partner. It sounds like you and Miz are on the same page, which is the number one key, because if you're not and you make that move, you never hear the end of it.
Yes, that is true. And I think I'll never hear the end of the Chase Claypool thing just because it was so ridiculous. It's probably more fun, you know, to play that it was my decision and roast me for it for the end of time. But I do have a text that I can use if it ever comes before court.
Yes.
Where I say, hey man, I'm gonna pull Chase and put in Mike unless you have any protests. And he said, nope. Yeah. Nope. It's a powerful word.
Having some evidence is always good too. So yeah, there's no backtracking 3 hours in when he's on his third touchdown.
Yeah. God.
So James, what's the best way for people to kind of follow along with how things are going? Is it following you guys on social media? What's the best way to stay involved?
100%. We're both posting on our social media accounts. The website is nffc.com/sackcancer. Our team name is Sack Cancer. That's where you can go and donate to the V Foundation. It's really easy. It's just a big button. You click it, you do your thing, and go back as many times as you can afford. You know, the reason we started with a high stakes team is because you're basically just announcing to the world that you have disposable income to spend on fantasy sports. So we thought that would be a nice sort of home base. But the truth is, everybody can get in on this because every single dollar matters, as you know. There's a high school kid in Connecticut who has a 12-team league with his buddies, and they all put in a dollar, and the winner's going to donate, you know, $12 to the V Foundation. So it's like it doesn't matter, you know, what income level you're at or what you can do. You know, pediatric cancer is a really, really, really nasty disease, and it's time that we beat the hell out of it. So everyone's invited.
Well, we hope everyone goes and checks it out. Make a donation if you can, but at most go in and follow along with James and the Miz as they continue through their season. Hopefully they'll turn things around as the season moves on.
There's nowhere to go but up.
James, I know we're at the V Foundation. All of us can't thank you and Miz enough for what you're doing for us too. So thank you both for your support, and best of luck as the season continues.
Thanks, man. It looks like we're going to need it.
Once again, thank you so much to James Verde Rodriguez for joining us today and for all he and the Miz are doing to support the V Foundation this football season. If you enjoyed the episode, I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast so you can get a heads up as soon as we post a new one. And please, leave a 5-star review or nice comment if you have a few seconds. Also, be sure to visit v.org to learn more about the V Foundation and give us a follow on all your favorite social media channels at the V Foundation. Until next time.
To me, there are three things we all should do every day. We do this every day of our life. You're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.